Welcome, listeners, to Podcast ONA, where we stand Haida 24/7. I'm your host, Alex, and joining me are Jet.
Man, I was trying to think of a funny death metal thing, but it's
hard to stop. And Duelist.
You mean I can't go by Spike, considering the news?
So, how about that Aggretsuko, huh?
Delightful.
Yeah, I was really not expecting it to be that good. I kind of joked about it on Twitter, but my experience coming into it was, I came into it being like, okay, this will probably be like a cute little distraction. I walked away from it being like, you know, this is the closest I have ever seen an anime come to being like a perfect comedy. And then it also had like a bunch of really surprisingly good social commentary.
Yep. It's a very real show, yo. One of the best of the season, I say. Maybe even the year.
Yeah, like, leave it to anime to take Zootopia and make it about little millennials. Like, somehow.
Suppose that is a way to put that.
Yep.
I finally good saw stuff. Zootopia recently. It's a movie.
Yeah, okay, yeah, like Zootopia, you know, instead of about racism, it's about office politics.
Yeah, we've been seeing a lot of movies lately, haven't we?
Not at all.
No, I am very behind on movies. I still haven't seen Coco, but hey, that's going to be on Netflix soon, so I can finally watch it.
Yeah.
Let's not delve into how I might be seeing a lot less movies.
I'm also probably not going to see Infinity War for like a while.
I wouldn't solve that.
I'm super behind on the Marvel stuff anyway. So I don't know. I mean, I might just go into it. Like, it shouldn't be that hard to follow, but I don't know.
It's not that hard to follow. I went and saw it last night. It was fantastic. And oh man, it gets real. It gets real.
I'm just going to throw out there that what I'm talking about is the fact that MoviePass, the day Infinity War dropped, decided that they were going to limit every member to only seeing a movie once. With no notice. No prior notice at all.
Yeah.
Also, if you try to sign up for the service currently, you're limited to 4 movies a month and some bullshit iHeartRadio subscription.
I was thinking about signing up for that because they had a deal, $6.95 a month. So I went, oh, okay. Then I went and do it, and it said, oh, I have to pay for it for the full year up front. Oh, screw that.
Yeah, that may also be a thing. I think you have to pay at least like quarterly or something.
I'm good with my AMC subs, ID membership, whatever. But we're not here to talk about movies.
I have that too, but
yeah, I should probably get one of those things so I can actually get movies more. Oh well.
All right. So yeah, good little introduction talk. So 2 shows in 7 days. Well, yeah. Seeing how we got a little bit off schedule this month, we're going to get back on track. Starting with this show, in which we've got quite a swift bullet point list of news to get to. As for what will come in our next normal show in 2 weeks, well, you'll have to wait and find out. So let's get the show started, and sadly we have to start on a bit of a somber note this time around. Acclaimed director for Studio Ghibli, Isao Takahata, passed away on the morning of April 5th at the age of 82. His more famous works for the studio include the films My Neighbor the Yamadas, Pompoko, and the infamous Grave of the Fireflies, with The Tale of Princess Kaguya being his final directorial work.
Well, being perfectly honest, I have honestly not seen a whole ton of Ghibli because my parents were like really weird about that when I was a kid. So I haven't seen any of the above movies, but I do know they have a lot of acclaim, and it's really a shame.
I've at least not seen Yamada's, although I think I own the DVD, but that's not surprising.
Yeah. Kind of a shame we have to start the show off like this, but...
unfortunate shit.
Yeah. Of course, you know, as is custom, our... Most heartfelt condolences go to his colleagues and family in these trying times. All right, now for something a bit lighter, coming in a bit late because these things happen when you least expect it. Funimation has announced a pretty neat upcoming product set to celebrate the 20th anniversary of Cowboy Bebop. A fancy as fuck Blu-ray set. Forbes and our favorite robot ninja WTK have the scoop. Starting on May 1st, Funimation will be gauging interest on three product concepts with different packaging and different prices for a 20th anniversary, like I said, Blu-ray release of Cowboy Bebop, all of which will include the series and the feature film on six Blu-ray discs, a new extra featurette, five lithographs, a 200-page hardcover art book with lots of goodies, including some newly translated notes from Mr. Dai Sato, and most importantly, to me anyway, a double vinyl soundtrack. Okay, here's my wallet. Just take it, Funimation. You've earned it.
Wow, this is the first time I've actually seen the price points, and that's even more out of my ability than I...
Yeah, so...
I actually haven't seen the price points. How bad are they? I mean, I doubt it's...
Okay. Let's talk about this. So here are the differences of these sets. The first concept is called the Bounty Hunter's Steel. It has set in a Richard Collector's box with more of a graffiti style of packaging, steel cases for all the discs, and a red vinyl variant with a suggested retail price of $250.
That's not super awful. I mean, it's expensive as heck, but it's not like awful.
Just hot wait. Take, I'm not a huge fan of that logo for Bebop, at least with the English words.
Okay.
The font, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, the second set, or concept rather, is called the Boogie Woogie Box, featuring a display box with metal clasps with a more traditional red package cover art around it, a Digipak disc case, and a blue splatter vinyl with an SRP of $350.
Okay, that's a little too steep for me.
it looks a little weird because you don't have the red vinyl in the red case, but whatever. And the third concept is called Bebop Crew, featuring more of a silhouette box art design, two PVC figure book ends of Spike and the rest of the crew, also a Digipak disc holder for some reason, and a rainbow splatter vinyl with a standard retail price of $500.
Eh. I was really hoping to not have to make the obvious joke here. I really didn't want to, but I guess I have to. They're drinking the same Kool-Aid scent I was when they made that particular set.
Or a lot of milk, shall we say.
Okay. Counter-argument. This is a diehard collector's release for the diehard collector, and it will not replace the standard release, which has been available since 2014. It's like a $10 CD versus a $200 box set. Both options are going to be available for two different kinds of consumers.
I'm still slightly annoyed that the Amazon quote-unquote limited edition that I bought when it was like $80 got like... reprinted significantly and then lowered to like, I don't know, $40, $50, $60
depending on when you grab it. Those?
You could probably I don't know if it's in stock currently.
I completely missed out on the Blu-ray release because I was lazy and I already had the remix DVD, so I was like, you know, I don't need to get Blu-ray right away.
It is still in stock on Amazon right now. It is still in stock. Okay, then I'll
probably get that version eventually, even though I kind of don't want to give that money to Amazon at this point.
Obviously, well, good luck. obviously, the pros to these sets would be I'm going to have to assume a better quality remastering of the movie?
Probably not. That's
what I'm curious about. Because
I'd really like to know.
Yeah, because the original Blu-ray release was only 3 discs, and this is now 6 discs. So, I guess we'll find out later on what they're going to do with that. Oh, and by the way, if you want to talk about double-dipping on Bebop, I have the Amazon set, I have the Funimation.com set, I have the Perfect Sessions box set, and I have the Remix set. I bought that set twice because I found the big fat pack.
You actually bought both limited editions?
Wow.
Yes, I did.
Did you open both of them?
Yes, wow. I did.
I like Bebop, but not nearly that much.
I even have a subtitled VHS of the first 2 episodes. That's how much I like it.
I have the Remix DVD set, which I think I managed to pay like $20 for when I got it.
I just have the Remix set. That's it.
And the Amazon one. And I'm not about to get rid of the Remix ones if for no other reason than Adult Swim promos.
Alright, so here's how this whole thing's going to work. These will be up for a pre-order period throughout all of May, and if any of the 3 options receives over 1,000 pre-orders, that will be the one produced, which will then go into a general purchase period set between June 4th and July 13th. Worth noting, this is all coming from Forbes because this information technically hasn't been announced yet. It sort of got out early by someone, and Funimation quickly took it down from their site. But someone at Forbes managed to, get all the good stuff out of there.
Thanks, Forbes.
So, personally, I'd go for the Bounty Hunter Steel set because it's the most affordable option. I'd rather go for steel cases instead of a Digipak set. I also just want that red vinyl. I just want the soundtrack on vinyl, period. That's like one of my music holy grails.
I mean, like, the vinyl soundtrack is really like the reason you would actually buy that set.
Mm-hmm. I've heard some folks complaining that why not do it on CD? Because there are no value to CDs anymore. Like, they're not collector's pieces.
By the way, I was trying to say this, but I'm wondering what exactly what music is going to be on the soundtrack, because Bebop notoriously has, like, 20 CDs.
Yeah, there's literally, like, over 200 songs in that soundtrack.
Yeah, I think there's, like, 5, hold on, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There are 7 studio album. So I would assume that it would be probably just the main Cowboy Bebop soundtrack, the first one. I don't think they do like Vitaminless or No Disc or Blue. Although I would like to get a vinyl copy of Blue at some point in the future because that album is so good.
Yoko Kano, we love you, but you made way too much music.
That reminds me, I actually have a 3-disc Seatbelts compilation somewhere in here.
I was poor and I had to, like, make my own bootleg CDs that I think I still have at least one of.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess we'll have to follow this up sometime in the future. I'm expecting something at Anime Expo or Otakon, is what I'm saying.
They're new. Not to them.
Moving on from there, while Hiromashima is hard at work on his next manga venture, Fairy Tail's 3rd series has been slated for the fall of this year, and as for who will be partnering with A1 Pictures for this animation production, presumably that is, those details are yet to be announced. So what are we expecting from this 3rd series?
I mean, I'm going to take a stab and guess probably 50 episodes if it's still a daytime show. I mean, they might final act it, but I kind of doubt it if it's going to be a fall show.
Well, I'm not expecting much, but I am expecting one thing. More Gazio Levy, please.
Andy Gordy, like, kind of gave it that time, so that's fine. I mean, because, I suppose they could grow, like, not to Lucy Shippers a boat or something, but, like, I guess that's what the spinoff song is going to be for, maybe.
Which I am also for, by the way. Okay, then. I guess we'll have to follow that up when it moves in the fall.
Yeah. I mean, I'd have more to say, but I mean, like, there kind of needs to be more news first.
Yeah. But, you know, it's something like that. Mm-hmm. Oh, and speaking of new shows coming out, Attack on Titan Season 3 confirmed for the middle of July. I believe it's July 22nd?
Oh, is it? Wait, I thought I just, like, heard summer, but I didn't actually watch the promo.
Yeah. Funimation, of course, announced that they have acquired it because...
Of course it did.
Duh. But it's starting in the middle of July, like 3 weeks into the season.
Yeah. The interesting thing to note here, though, is that according to a relatively reputable source, it's going to be 24 episodes this time.
Yeah.
Toonami when?
Yep. Oh, yeah, here it is. July 22nd on NHK in Japan. So, by the time we do our summer preview show, Attack on Titan will have not started yet. Isn't that something?
Yeah. I can kind of tolerate that. I mean, hey, it's going to be 24 episodes. They can cover a lot more material. They can...
So, everybody get your Spurs and Cowboy hats.
Yep. I say that, but, like, the first half of that scene is going to, like, literally be a bunch of politics, so... expect much complaining from angry fans, I guess.
Oh, no! Fans complaining?
What I can already hear the angry tweet storms from the faithful. But anyway. So earlier this month, at the Chicago Comics and Entertainment Expo, C2E2, Funimation had some announcements of their own, the first one being that a Funimation Now app is currently in early development for the Nintendo Switch. Cool stuff there.
About dang time.
Yeah.
Wait, does Crunchyroll even have one yet?
No, it's only Hulu and Nico Nico Video. Weird.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, you'd think at the very least Netflix would have one by now, but they don't.
Yeah, you'd think.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, hey, I mean, it only sold, like, 17 million copies in, like, a little more than a year. I mean...
whatever. I'm not keeping track or anything. Also at C2E2, Funimation announced a new license acquisition, and it's quite an interesting one. It's the fall 2014 short series, I, Tenchi Muyo.
Am
I the only one here who's excited about that?
I'm very excited. Ryoko!
Oh, yes.
Okay. Like,
we'll get to that.
I'd be excited, but, like, I have incredibly vague childhood memories of Tenchi Muyo. Like, I just kind of watched it very on and off watching Abu while it was on, so.
Okay, so I'm the opposite, but we'll get to that in a moment. Not only that, but it'll be out on home video in July, stay tuned for more, and complete with an English dub, which Funimation has since revealed, and we've got some returns here, everyone. Back as Sasami is Sherry Lynn, back as Mihoshi is Rebecca Forstadt, back as our titular Tenchi is Matt K. Miller, and most importantly, back as Ryoko, the Triumphochard!
Interestingly, Ayaka has been recast as, I believe, Charon Lay.
Yes, and Washu has been recast by Karen Strassman. Interesting enough, but for me, Matt Miller and Patria Burchard being back is just good enough for me, man.
Yeah! Oh, and a juicy gossipy tidbit is we don't have anything to officially confirm this, but tweets by, like, Matt... And, can't think of her name.
Treya?
Yes. seem to indicate that they are most likely also either are or have been dubbing the fourth OVA as well.
I'm a little more hesitant toward that, considering, well, the rule is we don't talk about the third OVA, like, ever. But for the short series, considering it's just, you know, a bunch of little, you know, gag episodes, I'm cool with this. Sure. Yes. Take my money, Funimation. You got it.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, it's always nice when companies can actually get the old band back together, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, most of them, anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, interestingly enough, since we're on the topic of Tenshi Muyo, Seven Seas is bringing over the true Tenshi Muyo light novel.
Oh my god, yes.
Oh, yeah. That is some cool stuff right there, yo.
I mean, well, once again, I don't really have too much of a, like, stake in this little race here, but, like, hey, more light novels coming over is always cool.
So now we go on to Funimation's July slate. The first of three slates we're talking about today, with a good bit of funny roll stuff all over. So on July 3rd, we have, with a limited edition, In Another World with My Smartphone.
I just want to stop for a second. Like, can just envision that statement for a moment. In Another World with My Smartphone, limited edition.
Hey.
There might be some overprinting.
Gary Stu-centric show or not, it's pretty entertaining.
I mean, I was kind of amused for the first episode, but they didn't really take the content far enough. I mean, like, I spent the entire time thinking, like, you know, this would be incredibly interesting if they just actually made the protagonist, like, a jerk instead.
I don't know if I agree.
I know just giving, like, infinite power to, like, the biggest jerk on the planet would be hilarious, but, yeah.
I mean, it's also kind of funny seeing, like, every other person in the setting just noped.
All right, well, we also have something that was announced just a short while ago, Assassination Classroom, 365 Days Time, hooray for movies.
I don't really know anything about that. It's supposed to be like a compilation movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that makes sense. it's sort of weird they went out of their way to buy a compilation movie, but, like, I mean, I guess Assassination Classroom is popular enough.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, we have A Centaur's Life for, you know, that demographic. Of, you know, Centaur fans.
That show started off really interesting, but it didn't really take its content far enough.
If you are in the Los Angeles area, you would like tickets to Hitler.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere, didn't it?
I'm so weirded out that show actually had a episode.
Okay, well,
it wasn't terribly done, for whatever that's worth.
No, I mean, it wasn't even terribly done. It was just that whole, like, here's a episode.
Grimdark.
Okay, moving on from there. On July 10th, we have the aforementioned Ai Tenshi Muyo, as well as Garo Divine Flame.
Finally. Is that a live-action film?
Nope. Nope, it's an animated movie that is a sequel to Garo the Animation or Garo Seal of Flames.
I need to watch stuff other than whatever the most recent anime is.
Basically it's a sequel movie to the first anime series, which is, like, the really good one. Don't bother with Crimson Moon. Please don't. It's awful.
As long as you're not hating on Vanishing Line.
No.
That was great.
No, Vanishing Line is simply fine.
Though I still question how he eats French fries.
I don't think Vanishing Line is as good as the first series, but it's pretty good. Ketchup. Don't watch Crimson Moon. Do not watch Crimson Moon.
I'm gonna do it because you told me not to. Thank you, Sho Aikawa. Ugh. I still remember what you did to Eureka 7.
I don't like, even know.
Oh, is he AO related?
Yes. He was the chief writer for AO.
No, I don't even blame him necessarily. Like, Crimson Moon had like 7 writers for some reason.
And they
still
all
blame him, just because. Different times. Just because. Okay, moving on. July 17th, a pair of kids shows. Puzzles and Dragons X Part 3 and Monster Hunter Stories Ride-On Season 1 Part 3.
Don't expect any more Puzzles and Dragons, Joe, because good old Johnny's.
We also have the series Alice in Zordoku and one of my favorites from the fall of 2016, not named Yuri on Ice, Nonpaka.
So I never got around to finishing Alice yet, but I liked what I saw.
That was a pretty good show. Nonbaka I watched for a while, and then I kind of lost interest with the second half.
Is that the like flamboyant prison one?
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Okay. First half is excellent. Second half, I don't know about.
Was that the web exclusive one or whatever?
Like the first half is really funny, and the second half for like what I watched of it tried to have too much plot, and that didn't turn out well.
And I'm assuming you don't mean like stacked chicks.
There's like maybe 2 female characters in the entire cast.
I swear to God, if you say they're like 10, I'm gonna eat. Like
No. It's like the super crazy in love warden, but we're getting off track. Okay, July 24th has a live-action film called I Am a Hero. Anyone know about this? Because I sure don't.
I guess it gets based off of that, like, weird animated short by an Abhijit, but I don't know.
No idea.
And I still haven't seen those shorts. I've heard very mixed things about them.
Pulling up the information here, it's actually based on a horror manga of, I guess, called Hero.
Okay, now I know what you're talking about. I've heard
this is not to be Hero.
I got that confused. I actually have heard of I Am Here. I Am a Hero. That's like some a horror manga that's been around for like a little while, and I'm kind of surprised that it's gotten an anime because I've heard a lot of things about it. But seems pretty cool, I guess.
Okay. Also on July 24th, part one of Twin Star Exorcist with a big ass collector's box.
I have a couple of things to say about this. Firstly, I'm like kind of weirded out. This is getting a limited edition, considering it didn't give 1 to 7 Deadly Sins. Like, really?
Well, that that's kind of a different thing, considering Netflix.
No. If anything, the Netflix thing is an even more reason to give that a nicer sense.
Dude, they could have bundled it with a year's Netflix subscription, yo.
No, because a nicer set would have given people more incentive to buy the dang thing. Because I don't think the release actually sold that well for Funimation.
I need to buy it to support it. I don't have money. Alex, give me money to buy anime.
I bought it, but I'm just saying. Secondly, I am actually kind of actively annoyed they decided to split this up into 4 sets.
Oh, right. That was a year-long show.
Yes. It was
I guess that explains
show.
Why the box is so big.
We're talking about Twin Star still?
Yeah. Yeah, like, I don't get why they decided to split that up into 4 sets. Like, nope. I kind of It almost feels like people, the industry has kind of moved on from that for long-running shows. Like, Sentai doesn't do that anymore. Even Viz has started doing longer releases. So this feels kind of weird, but, like, whatever. I mean, it's as long as they stream it, it's fine with me. I mean, I just didn't watch it that way. Yeah.
So I guess we can expect the same thing from Black Clover when that comes time to get a release.
Probably.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, probably.
And as a little bonus, we have a fifth week of releases from Funimation on July 31st. Part 1 of Space Battleship Yamato 2199. After how long?
Yeah, I mean, I gotta say, I'm a little surprised that people were surprised this got a physical release. I mean, I know Funimation's, like, rights with Funimation have been really weird lately, and they have sometimes done things they may or may not have the rights to, but in this case, it was like, this show has been out long enough that there's no way Funimation would have dubbed it if they didn't have the physical rights to it, like, come on. So I was, like, not surprised that it's got a physical release. I was surprised to see that it's getting a limited edition, because I wasn't sure how well it did. But, that's nice. I mean, I'm not sure if I'll buy it, because I'm, like, pretty behind on the dub, but we'll see.
So, now we go to Sentai for their August slate, with some kind of unique releases here. So, August 7th, via their Kraken Releasings label, we have more of the Garo Tokusatsu. That's really cool.
Awesome.
Interestingly enough, on August 14th, we have a kaiju flick called Dai Kajumono, starring pro wrestler Kota Ibushi. Okay, sure.
Okay, I mean, like, I've never, ever heard of this, but, like, okay.
It's certainly weird enough that I would expect Sentai to see this and go, hey, we'll take that. Sure.
I don't know. Okay, it's weird that's a Sentai release. It sounds more like something Made in Japan would do.
Yeah, but apparently it's on the Sentai label. Also, Made in Japan, I don't think Matt Greenfield would be into that.
I mean, I don't know, like, kaiju movies sound like they might be his kind of thing, I don't know. Yeah.
And it's also dubbed, which is going to be weird hearing Kota Ibushi having a dubbed over voice, but whatever. On August 21st, getting a premium box set release, Armed Girls Machiavellism. Do you have something you'd like to share with us?
Well, I've been talking to somebody who's watched significantly more of the show than I and claims it was actually decent, but Sketch and I watched one episode and thought it was, like, god-awful, and considering they're giving a fancy box to this and not even dubbing certain other things from that season, I'm slightly irate.
Okay, I mean, I'm not that weirded out. Like, I mean, Sentai's release patterns can be slightly inconsistent. Okay, I mean, but typically speaking, big light novel things tend to get dubbed, and they tend to get knife releases. Mm-hmm.
I've never fucking heard of this, and frankly, I'm surprised people found it on Amazon to stream. Because that was in the day of the Strick, which, by the way, they might as well, you know, still have, since they're raising their price like $20, you know.
Switch to monthly like I did, but whatever.
Like, are they upping the price for monthly? That is how I pay.
No, they're not.
Oh, the people just switch to monthly. Okay, well, I mean, if you want to actually support Amazon, like, I'm literally only doing it because they sold simulcast stuff. I really don't want to keep giving money to them.
No. Meanwhile, I do it because Classic Gamers on Amazon, and so is The Nerd, and I actually order stuff to print all the time, but whatever. Worth noting in the box set will be a 240-page booklet, 6 art cards, and 4x6 sticker sets. That's what it says on the site. This is pretty much a school live size set, meaning it's only going to cost you $65, so it's not going to be super big. Okay, and lastly, on August 28th, No Game No Life Zero with a premium release for some reason.
What do you mean, some reason? It's obvious why that's going to get premium.
Oh, okay, release. Okay. I know No Game No Life is one of their big titles, but it's a movie. Like,
Okay, yeah, it's a movie to one of their big titles. It's not weird.
Sure, whatever, fine. And they also have something they've just acquired recently, or rather reacquired, Aura Battler Dunbine. And from what I understand, these old DVDs had some problems. Duelist, do you know anything about this?
I unfortunately don't really.
No. I've heard from people that the old DVDs had some subtitling issues.
I'm not hopefully that really that familiar with the series, to be honest with you.
I'm not either, but I mean, hey, it's nice that Sentai is like doing a nicer re-release of something old that they screwed up. If only they could do that for a certain other show. Cough, cough, Penguin Drum, cough, cough.
Well, that would require getting a new dub, first of all.
They have
the material to do it, but I guess they just.
I don't know. Kickstart that thing if you had to. I'd pay tons of money for a new dub. Please.
Maybe someday. All right. And now it's time for everyone's favorite day. No, it's not Rusev Day. It's Discotheque Day, because Discotheque has unveiled their upcoming Blu-ray releases for June 26th, starting with a pair of sub-only releases, Haruka Nozigawa's Secret, and I'm guessing the movie Haruka Nozigawa's Nogizaka's Secret, Preza.
No, that's the second season. I know this because... Okay, the reason I actually know this show exists is because my college roommate was, like, really into edgy shows, and he was, like, watching this one day, so I just decided to, like, sit there and go to a couple of episodes with him, so that's how I know this show exists.
I'm vaguely aware of the show, something to do with, like, a closet otaku chick in a high school setting.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I vaguely remember that's what the show was about.
I don't remember it necessarily being fan servicey, but who the hell knows? I saw, two episodes.
I definitely recall it at least being, like, a harem thing.
You're right. Look at when the show aired. Oh, 2008. Yeah, the heyday of edgy.
Yeah. Straight on your tune-in.
By Xylem Media. How about that?
What is that? What media?
Xylem Media.
Wow.
Back when they were called Studio Barcelona.
Because I was about to say, wait, Diabetes was around in 2008? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, their first produced show was Nanatsuiro Drops, based on a visual novel. Okay, next up on Saranac Blu-ray, we have something kind of weird, Eat Man.
Is this...
Which I hear is not very good.
Eat Man 98?
It actually has, as a bonus, the 2 dubbed episodes of Eat Man 98 included in it. I say 2 because that's apparently the only episode they dubbed of it for some reason.
Wait, they're only including 2 episodes?
Because they're the only ones dubbed. I don't get it either.
Why not put the rest on there? That's dumb.
I don't know. Rights issues? It's a Bandai rescue. I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds super weird.
It was interesting when I saw it in my college anime club. That's all I got, really. Yeah. Something about the main character, like, eats metal and then, like, yeah. I don't know if he spits bullets or what the hell he does.
I actually bought the DVD of E-Man 98 today. All 12 episodes, even though only 2 of them were in English, but...
Wait, you found it?
Whatever. I'll have a laugh at that later.
Where the hell did you find that?
Alright, also coming out on Blu-ray for the first time, Lupin the Third, Bye Bye Lady Liberty.
Oh, cool. I mean, it's always nice to get more of those old Lupin movies. I mean, that I haven't actually seen, like, any of them, but...
Stealing the statue or something?
Probably.
I'm sorry, it's not a movie. It's a TV special. My bad.
Okay. I thought it was a movie for some reason. Oh, wow.
I thought so, too, but... Whatever. I'm actually wondering if this is the one where it has Fujiko giving the finger.
I mean, I don't know. All I know is, like, everyone should be watching Lupin the Third Part 5. It's real good.
You're here. All right. We also have a show for someone, I guess. Sister Princess.
Okay, like, I mean, do I dare ask what this show is about?
I'm looking.
Oh, boy, it is...
Top student
failed. Pretty much brothers conflict, but gender flipped.
Who's conflict?
Brothers conflict, but gender flipped.
Okay, like, I haven't actually seen brothers conflict, and it doesn't really help me much.
Okay, the part of that show is a girl ends up in a house with like a dozen boys who end up becoming her stepbrothers. This is the inverse of that.
Okay.
I'm just going to say, this sounds like the plot of a hentai with the sex not in it.
That sounds like a really hentai-ish thing.
Would you believe me if I told you this is based off a light novel?
Of course it is.
And a visual novel on the PlayStation.
I can visual...
Like, of course it is. That makes a ton of sense. That's like the most visual novel plot to ever visual novel.
Yeah. And lastly, clearly this is the greatest show of this or any other generation, brought to us by the duo of Jose Argumedo and Mike Tool, Bananya.
Yes, and getting a dub, no less.
Yes, brought to us by Mike Tool and Jose Arimedo.
Mike, I don't think I ever watched more than a couple of episodes of their show, but, like, they were pretty cute, so, I don't know. Like, I really hear to hear Mike Tool's narration there, so I might actually buy it just for that.
I want to know who got high and came up with the concept for that show.
Probably the same guy who thought of Bananas in Pajamas. That's an old reference, kids. All right.
You're going to put bad music in this podcast, aren't you?
Maybe. Bananas in pajamas are coming down the stairs. Bananas in pajamas are coming down in pairs. Okay. And now, for a moment anyway, we go to Viz. As they have announced in the pile... The upcoming Blu-ray release for JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Stardust Crusaders, due out on July 3rd.
Yep, it is important to note it is the first 24 episodes of Stardust Crusaders, but that's not, like, really surprising. It would be weirder if they put out all 52 episodes at once, because they'd probably be losing money that way.
Well, I'm pretty sure they're still in the middle of dubbing the second half of that.
I'm pretty sure they're, like, finished dubbing it by now. I'm just saying, like, we're really going to want to be, like, really stupid. No.
And if you pre-order it through Right Stuff, I think you can get the same bandana they're sitting on too many of that you could have gotten with the first set.
I still don't understand why they didn't just make it Caesar's bandana, like... That was such an easy opportunity, and they missed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did that, and I spent way too much money on it, but it's cool.
Some potentially not the best pack-in bonuses. Remember, if you ever want to buy that coin that has, like, Viz's name on it, it's $30 on Right Stuff. You can just
go. I have the Viz coin. Like, the weirder thing to me is that, like, every 100 or 100 cent comes with a 100 license. And there's like, so I have like four of those things just sitting on my shelf. To
have. I don't think I have any of them because I got the Steelbook from Best Buy and then I ordered like the other two off Amazon and
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay, so moving on from there, earlier this month at Anime Detour, Rystuff had a panel for their Nozomi Entertainment label, announcing some products coming very soon. First one being Alihana Sweet Blue Flowers on Blu-ray on July 3rd.
It's a very cute show with Yuri-ishness, but like, yes. Lighthearted. Well, how the hell? It's... I don't know, it's not like soft core, because that implies things, but it's not like, there's no macking, I don't think, at least not hardcore. I'm not describing this very well.
It's fine. Alright, I also announced for July 3rd, the Gundam AGE OVA, Memory of Eden, for, well, at least you, Logan, because I know you, at least, like, Gundam AGE.
Did Age get a dub? I don't even remember.
Okay. It just got like a crappy, like,
It was an Animax dub.
Yeah.
Jinx.
Build Fighters was still robbed.
Yeah. They also announced some details for their upcoming Gundam 00 Ultra Edition out on September 4th. Well, further details anyway, it'll be on 12 flippin' Blu-ray discs for everything.
Yeah. And
it will include a 236-page book of stuff, art cards, a poster, a keychain, and a card magnet, all priced at $169.
Okay, the irony of that is it technically isn't everything Gundam Zero-rated anymore.
Did they really
need
12? I mean, how the heck many episodes is that?
It's 52. 50. No, it's okay, 50.
I don't think they needed 12.
I mean, if you're including movies and stuff, then I guess that makes slightly more sense.
There's also the Gundam 00 Special Edition as well.
Yeah, okay, and I see like one episode of Gundam 00 and I never got around to the rest, so like, I have no stake in this horse.
I saw it like once on Sci-Fi and that was it.
For just $50 more, they'll drop a colony on your house.
And speaking of Gundam, we know a little bit about the next big Gundam projects to come, starting with an accidental reveal of some new films coming soon. Mobile Suit Gundam Narrative, set for the fall of 2018/winter 2019. Mobile Suit Gundam Hathaway's Flash, a film trilogy set to begin in the fall of 2019 or later. And lastly, the tentatively titled Mobile Suit Gundam UC2, read Unicorn, supposedly an overseas drama set to begin in 2022. But so far, all we know the most about is the Narrative, or NT, project. It is set in the Universal Century timeline, date UC0097, so right after Unicorn, with the tagline being the next destination of the new type legend. Thunderbolt and G-Reco director Shinichi Yoshizawa will be at the helm of this project, with Unicorn writer Harutoshi Fukui handling the scripts. And this will all be a bigger part of the, quote, UC Next 0100 project that will expand its universe, so to speak, and the future of the UC timeline.
So basically this lost me when it turned out to be a UC show, because, like, I'm not familiar with the UC timeline, like, not even a little bit. I mean, like, I watched some of Unicorn while it was on Toonami, and I never got around to finishing it.
Oh, no. You gotta watch the OVAs instead. The TV is a mess.
I know. I mean, not even that. Like, it wasn't, like, super hard to follow. It's just kind of like, you know, I'd be much more invested in this if I, like, actually seen the original, like, 79 Gundam, but I haven't. So, like, yeah.
Movie trilogy. There you go.
It basically, it's like, you see stuff, like, way over my head. I just watch the alternate universe stuff.
Translation, we just want G Gundam.
Yeah, or, like, I'd say, or, you know, more Build Fighter stuff, but Build Divers mm-hmm. is just kind of like a giant drone so far.
By the way, I feel like if they don't at least try to do some kind of something for the G Gundam physical release, it's gonna annoy people.
Yeah.
Not saying they need to make an $800 box, but,
yeah,
you know.
Like, I mean,
merchandise and stuff for that show is so limited in general that,
I feel like they might try to redub it, but that would be, like, such a weird...
Mark, what's his face?
It's just, like, I would have such mixed feelings on that, because, like...
That is the perfect amount of cheese for that show, I'm sorry.
Yeah, like, the dub technically isn't very good, but on the other hand, like, that's part of the charm, so, like... I don't know.
Leave it be.
Okay, then. Well, I guess we'll have to come back to that when we get more details sometime in the future.
The future!
So last we checked in on the Gunsmith Cat Kickstarter, it was holding steady at over $108,000 raised. The campaign has since come to an end, and in total... over 4,200 backers pledged just over $350,000 for this project, also assuring a new commentary track with the big two voice actors of the series, Kimberly Yates and Amanda Wynn Lee. Small little kerfuffle and controversy aside.
Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, I know Hardy was really excited to get that commentary, so I'm very happy for him. I mean, like, I actually have seen Gunsmith Cast, but I'm not sure if I really feel like investing in this, so it's kind of a giant trunk for me, personally.
Okay. Well, in the meanwhile, we've been hearing a bit here and there about this Project BB thing from Kenichi Sonoda, and we seem to have a better answer about what it is, now called Anime Project Bean Bandit. Sonoda and his team will be going to Kickstarter very soon, to get this project going, and I assume we'll all hear more about this at Anime Central in a few weeks. But for now, this looks to be quite the interesting project here.
Yeah, it makes me think of Riding Bean, and I guess it's going to tie into that somehow. I don't know.
Need more. Well, getting more, so... Yay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Alright. Now... we tend to hold anime releases to a rather high standard over here in this branch of our fandom. We don't like bad and cheap products, really. So, Mill Creek Entertainment. They're known for releasing loads of old TV shows, some in partnership with Sony, and they're set to release a pair of anime releases for June, their first since their 2015 DVD release of the 2003 Astro Boy series. The first set is a three-pack of Viper's Creed, Kurozuka, and Ultraviolet Code 44. But alas, that damn monkey's paw is back, as this set is dub-only and is on all of three standard DVDs.
I have no stake in this yet again, but I actually did. No, like, fuck that, I actually did buy the Astro Boy 2003 DVDs. Like, I just happened to see them on Kmart, like, on a shelf one day, and they had it for, like, $10, and I was like, you know, I vaguely remember watching this show as a kid, so what the heck, I'll buy it. And, I actually very much enjoyed rewatching that show. I didn't know it was as good as it actually was, so that was nice. that aside, this release sounds like a very bad idea.
This is not any kind of an argument for doing this, but I can't help but being only vaguely aware of these shows, they seem like the kind of thing that I, at least personally, would probably only watch whatever cheesy dub exists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the second of these releases is... of all things, a Blu-ray release of Katsuhiro Otomo's Metropolis. But, per our resident anime robot ninja WTK, who did some investigating on this, it will be a Walmart exclusive release. No, I don't get it either.
Okay, that's not like a super terrible monkey's paw. That's just kind of annoying.
Yeah, I'm just hoping this is better than whatever that manufacturer on demand BDR release Sony put out a while ago is.
Oh, Sony. I mean, hey, on the bright side, now that, like, they own Funimation, maybe Funimation will get to release some of their old stuff, like,
let's clarify, they're not owned outright by Sony. They are owned by Sony Pictures Television International, a branch of Sony. Just to get that under control and out and.
Okay, I know, but I can dream, dang it. Like, I mean, like all I like.
Where's
all
my Blood Plus? Damn it!
Yes, all I want for Christmas is all of Blood Plus on a not terrible release.
I remember when that was on Anime Strike for like 2 days, and we didn't watch it.
It was never on Amazon Video. Fuckers. All right. Well. We kind of mentioned this on the last show, but if you haven't heard it, now you are. Starting on May 5th at 11:30, Toonami will be airing My Hero Academia, and they're going to be airing all 3 seasons, which is pretty good timing, too, since Kai is out on the way out very soon.
Yeah, like, I actually kind of wish this was replacing Kai instead of Gundam, but, like, whatever. I mean, I'm still really wondering what's going to replace Kai, if, like, Kai...
I feel like this effectively is, quote-unquote, replacing Kai, because if they rerun Kai while also having My Hero to probably anchor things
the annoying thing to me would be rerunning Kai while they have Supers. Like, it's not necessary. You have one Dragon Ball show. You're okay.
Yeah, but they're extra okay if they have Academia there, so...
Yeah.
Unless, you know, the TV audience hates it because they suck, but, you know.
Yeah, okay. I mean, hopefully they didn't wait too long. We'll see.
I'm sure it'll be fine. And poor Black Clover getting bumped down to 130 after getting bumped down to 1. Couldn't put asses in the seats.
I mean, it'll get me that much closer to my dream that it will only be 50 episodes.
Yes. Now, Jet, you've been asking for a dub for Rocka, right?
Kinda. I mean, well, I haven't asked for that in a long time.
I'm pretty sure he did, but whatever. Well, what if I told you that there was a dub for Rocka, and it would be available on Blu-ray on May 28th? There's a catch. It's only in the UK.
Monkey's Paw again!
Yeah.
Twice in one show.
Yeah, like, hearing about that, it's kind of weird. I mean, granted, the UK has, like, put out English dubs from, like, Magnum and whatnot before, so it's not like super weird, but I guess it's a little surprising, especially given all the shenanigans currently going on with Ponycan, because we still don't know what the heck's going up with them these days.
Yeah, but yes, there is an English dub for Rocka, dubbed in LA with the dub cast of Robbie Damon, Abby Trott, Brian Knickerbocker, Ray Chase, Kira Buckland, Wendy Lee, and everybody's best boy, Ben Diskin.
I hope...
I thought everybody's best boy was Wendy Lee.
Dang it.
Young Shonen boy, at least.
Okay, but anyway, like, yeah, I mean, I hope this makes it over to the West. I mean, well, to the U.S., my bad. Way, somehow, someday. Dang it, Ponycan.
It's not the first time we've gotten a UK exclusive dub, bro story.
And a moment of silence because we are still waiting for a physical release of the Silent Voice.
I'm not, neither is Alex, so get on.
Yeah, got my copy a couple weeks ago.
I hate you!
Did you watch the dub yet?
I haven't watched it, period.
I haven't watched it either. I've been working, so whatever. Okay. At the recent Shirobako fan event in Japan, something pretty damn cool was announced. An original Shirobako film is now in production with the TV staff on board to make this happen. And I think we can all agree Miles is over the moon for this, huh?
Yep. I'm really surprised this didn't happen sooner because Shirobako was a pretty big hit when that came out. But hey, more Shirobako. And yeah, I'm so really angry that I decided to not dub that.
I'm angry they didn't give it a fancy release.
Okay, I'm angry about both of those things. Mostly because it is the perfect show for when basically you can recommend to people who don't know how anime production works. basically for everyone who goes, oh, anime production is about budget, show them Shirobako.
Yes. Okay, then. And going back to the, yeah, duh, pile for this one, the first Fate Stay Night Heaven's Feel film will be heading back to theaters in the States courtesy of Fathom Events on June 5th and June 7th, this time with an English dub. So if you didn't see it the first time around, like me, here's your second chance to see it without paying extortionate amounts of money for it.
Okay, in other news, water is wet. Yeah, I mean, like, anyone who thought they weren't going to dub this, I don't know what to tell you. You aren't paying attention, I guess. Yeah. Interestingly, I guess they've already kind of confirmed it's going to be the same cast as Unlimited Blade Works. Like, at the very least, I know Bryce Papenbrook and Kaji Tae confirmed they're coming back.
Mm-hmm. And Tony Oliver's directing it as well.
Okay, well, yeah. I mean, at this one, I'm pretty sure he just, like, whenever there's a new Fate thing, they just have him on speed dial. So.
Yeah. Second chance for me to see it. Yep, this time with all the gore.
Yeah, I mean, I might see it in theaters. I don't know. I have such a weird relationship with Fate Stay Night.
Okay, then. And lastly, we've got quite the scoop on our hands, courtesy of our compatriots, Yonku and PKJD, however you pronounce that.
I just go with Moetron.
Okay, sure. And it all has to do with a certain title called The Promised Neverland. So, Jet, would you like to tell us what's making the rounds?
Okay, so very recently a Twitter account was set up for The Promised Neverland. And shortly following that, there was a domain name found in Japan, registered somewhere in Japan, for a neverlandanime.com. Now, according to Yonku, a Neverland anime is apparently a real thing, so yeah. And given it's coming from Yonku, I'm going to give him the benefit of that and assume it's a real thing, so yeah. Not to mention domain name registration and anime announcements officially happening usually coincide very quickly. So I would expect the official announcement to happen sometime within the next month or so. So yeah. That's probably happening.
Fun stuff is coming, everybody. So, yeah. Who's going to make this show happen?
Currently, I have no idea. Like, I mean, people originally... based on where it was registered, people somewhat originally assumed it was Aniplex, but apparently a bunch of other companies use that site, so it might not be them. I mean, you know what? Honestly, at this point, it's like, if it's not Ponycan and it's not Amazon, like, I'm cool with it being whatever.
Netflix exclusive.
Hey, Crunchyroll, throw money at this. People will like you for it.
Except for Sentai, they won't like you that much.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, like, I've heard, like, oh man, what if it's an Netflix exclusive? I doubt it. Shueisha probably wants that, like, actually simulcasted, so. I mean, I'm pretty excited, but I also, you know, kind of want more tangible information, so, yeah.
I expect we'll get some more in the weeks to come. So, we got that to look forward to as well.
Yep, I'm just hoping it's a fall or winter show, because if it takes any longer than that, it might not happen in the way I exactly want it to, and I'm, like, really particular about that, so, yeah.
All right, then, and that's it. Hooray, we did this in just over an hour. I feel good about all of us.
Yeah, and weirdly, we did not get interrupted, which I'm kind of surprised about. So.
Yes. If you heard the last episode, oh boy, that was a time and a half, wasn't it? So, are we all ready to head out of here?
Yep.
Probably.
So, we've got to watch some stuff before Tsunami starts.
Yeah, so let's get on that. So, we're going to wrap this up right now. Thank you all for listening to our show. You know where to find us. You know where to find our stuff. All the links are in the info description. So, like I said, thank you for enjoying our show. Thank you for listening to Podcast One. And we hope to come back next time. So until then, I just have this to say about the Avengers Infinity War film. Thanos is chaotic neutral Frieza, and you cannot tell me otherwise. Damn it.
Don't spoil me.
No spoilers, but that's all I'm saying. Chaotic neutral as hell.